got to the discussions afterwards, even the prayers afterwards, there was a line in the song, hidden. It says, "You'll guide me through these many shadows." I was thinking, shadows. We always think of shadows as being bad because they're dark. Mm-hmm. But I went to Psalms and I found kind of a negative one, but there were two positive ones. So in Psalm 23, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff,
they comfort me." Yeah.
Psalm 91. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow,
the shadow of
the Almighty." And I got to go to Psalm 17, verse 8. I have this highlighted so I can find it. It says, "Keep me as the apple of thy eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings."
Of your wings.
The expression, "apple of my eye," keep your focus on me and hide me under your wing. Mm-hmm. There's Isaiah that says, doesn't talk about the shadow, but it says we can renew our strength and we'll be. The wings carry us. We fly. We get. The shadows are not necessarily bad. There's several verses that talk about the positive leading and protection under the wings and the shadow.
Come on.
And I never thought of that until we sang that song, because
Jesus,
he leads us through the shadows, but he leads us with shadows. Under his shadow,
right,
we have protection.
What's on your mind, Eric?
All of that imagery is important in the song. Every single one that you just mentioned is in there and is used. Mm-hmm. We'll get to it someday. I promise.
Today.
There's one more thing. If you ever look at satellite imagery or anything really, shadows become very telling. Because you can't tell when you're looking straight down on something necessarily.
Think of depth.
Especially a structure, right? But if you look at its shadow, you can see exactly what it is.
Yeah, because so depth and...
Shadows are telling.
Structure.
Shadows indicate length.
It shows what you can't see.
Right.
Shape.
Do you know, in fact, we use the shadows in satellite imagery to extract the third dimension.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mathematically. Well, today is Pentecost Sunday.
Oh, I did not know that. Hadn't been tracking that.
So I wasn't tracking it either. And it was like my niece had put a thing out at their church. It was like a Pentecost vigil. I went, "What? What is this?" I went, "Oh my." And but it resonated with the things that were on my heart, and so I'm going to start with a verse, and then, you know, I don't know. I was thinking about you. I was thinking about the season and processing and
proceed.
Acts chapter 1, verse 1. "In my former book, the Apostles, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach, and until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions to the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: 'Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' But wait." And I have a feeling that my niece's invitation to the church event they had last night was probably very somber and looked like a church service. I wonder. I bet you that room. I bet you that room in Jerusalem didn't look like
that. It was probably electric after that.
Actually, that's a very positive, upbeat.
I bet you. I mean, don't you love waiting for stuff?
Yeah.
No.
All right, here we go. No, how about this? I mean, you're going to go to your doctor's appointment. It's 10 o'clock appointment, and you're in the waiting room.
But that's
now,
not a.
And now it's 11. No. And you're going, oh, I'm so happy. Right? You're like,
there's a different.
I had a 10 o'clock appointment. I've been here an hour. And you're going up to the lady saying, anybody else have that experience?
But there is good waiting.
There is. You're absolutely right.
Yep. It's like when you're a kid, it's like Christmas never comes fast.
Okay, that's a fun waiting.
And then
Christmas
I could
morning
never
waiting.
Open my package. I honestly had to wait because I've been waiting all year for this. And you open it up and you're so excited. So that's like your Holy Spirit, what you're talking about. Jesus told them to wait.
Yeah.
I get to open it up.
I have a feeling when they're waiting, they were like, I have no idea what I'm waiting for. So I think they're afraid. They're scared. Their leader's gone. There's people after these people that were disruptors. So it's a tense time. And I imagine they were in a house and probably pacing. What are we supposed to do? You know, I bet there was some anger. I bet there was lots of passion all over the place. I don't think they were on their knees going, oh, Father. I don't think so.
I'm with you, Danny.
I think there was like, it
they
was
were
like,
real
a,
people.
I think there was an anxiety.
Yes.
I'm here. You said to come here. I'm waiting. Ah! God, when do I get breakthrough? Answers. A shift. Transition. What's the key? What's right? So this thing about what are we waiting for? And I'm not a good waiter. I'm not. I mean, I'm the guy. It's like, okay, I'm just gonna sit here and listen to God. I'm gonna wait for a minute. Where's my song right here? Oh, what's Fox News say? Oh wait, my email. Wait, I just did that 30 seconds ago, and I, you know, back there, young. Yep, the younger generation, they're almost like cyborg interconnected with their phones. They can't put them down. And, you know, we don't like empty spaces in our life. We don't like no answers, right? I don't. And I'm probably not, if I'm honest, I'm not a really good waiter on God, if I'm honest. I've had seasons right now where it's like I'm intentional. I'm going to spend time. I'm going to read the word. I'm going to pray. But it's seasons. It's seasons. And sometimes it's like, what am I doing? Right? That's what one of the reasons, by the way, I love coming and being with you guys is because when I might be down here, chances are one of you's up here. I can borrow. I can borrow from your season. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Anyway, remember a few weeks ago, maybe it was longer than that, we had a table sit. We were at the table. It feels like a long time ago. Remember I typed out the words to a song? It was called Take Courage. And I don't know, because I was thinking about waiting then, so I haven't got out of this thing, by the way. And remember when part of that song just kept saying, repeat, you know, it's a Christine DeMarco song, He's in the waiting. Mm-hmm. He's in the waiting, right? And how many times if I told Angel to look up waiting, he's going to hang out in the Psalms and come out with a whole list of verses of the joy of waiting and the gift of waiting and the sorrow of waiting and it's all over the place, but it's right. But one of the ones, my favorites, it says wait. Wait on him. It says he'll strengthen us. And so I had these thoughts, and then I'll get to some other thoughts, but it's like, first off, and they're just generic, you can bend them however you want, because I actually believe in this when you get to these seasons, it's like, okay, there's something God wants to show me. I feel like I'm in a holding pattern, waiting for my answer. It might be an answer, a medical answer on a body. It could be a career answer, like, what do I do next? It could be like, Eric just lost his dad, and Jerry's not with us now, so you're in a transition. Now what? Right? And so it's like, and you might be frustrated, you might be discontent, but I think that there's, in this phase, in that little holding pattern phase, I think there's, God's like, oh, this is the best part because I've got this thing for you. It's called discovery.
I wish you'd get to it. I'm tired of waiting for him.
But it's like discovery, right? Because usually this thing of breakthrough, it's like, hey, he's taking me to a place where maybe I didn't have a mental grid for how to get there, how to be there. So he's gotta like show me some things so I know how to exist in this new place with him in this next season. Okay. And by the way, this thing about discovery, if you don't know something's missing, you're not gonna go looking for it. If you don't know something's missing, you're not looking for it. I'll let that hang there. You can chew on it. Right, that's one. Two, that song we played a few times, you know, some weeks back, there was this thing it says, when we talked about him strengthening us, it says, she sang a verse that says, hold on to your hope until your triumph unfolds. And so I think there's something, it's like, as we get this ready for this transition for your answer that you're looking for, there's maybe a question I would ask you, or you can ask God, what is it you want to strengthen? What has to be strengthened in me, God? Maybe he needs my hope meter strengthened. Maybe he needs my trust meter strengthened. Maybe it's my graciousness. Maybe it's my fill in the blank. Right? What's he wanting to strengthen in me? Right? Because he says that he'll strengthen your heart. What's the thing in your heart he's strengthening for you in your transition this season? And the third thing I would say, just generically, am I waiting for the same thing God's waiting for? Here's a thought I had, and maybe it's like a parent and the kid, your kid. You know, you can tell your kid all day long, you need to do this for this reason, blah, blah, blah. You need to do this. This is good for you. This is healthy for you. This is safe for you. This is, and your kid goes, right. I got it. But you and I know, as moms and dads, right? That's meaningless until that kid has this, what I'll call an aha moment, where he goes, oh, I get it. I know what mom was talking about. And they own it. We'd love it if that happened when they were 8. Or 9, or 18, or 28, or I don't know why, but this thing about sometimes we believe, God, the answer is you need to do this. And God's going, that's not the answer. We're trying to get on the same, what is it, God, then? What is it you're trying to show me? Because I thought it was this. I thought it was a job with more money, God. That'll make me happy. He's like, I thought if I got a new house, then our marriage would be okay. I thought if, God's like, it's like this whole thing of, I'm in this holding pattern. What's my discovery? What's the breakthrough he's trying to get me? Is there something inside of me that needs to be strengthened? And am I running for the same thing that God's wanting me to be running for? I was thinking of this quote that was attributed to Mark Twain. He said, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years. We're like that with God. It's like, God doesn't know what he's talking about. And all of a sudden we have this, oh, wait. He really does, right?
Don't look at you, watch. I'm enjoying this.
And here's the other thing about waiting, by the way. It's not just for us. And I'll read this verse, and I'm going to transition to this other verse about Pentecost. Because in Psalm, I read it out of the message. I liked it out of the message. Psalm 40. He says, I waited and waited and waited for God. At last he looked. Finally he listened. He lifted me out of the ditch. He pulled me from deep mud. He stood me up on a solid rock to make sure I wouldn't slip. He taught me how to sing the latest God song, a praise song to God. And more people are seeing this. And they enter the mystery, abandoning themselves to God. There's people watching you in your season. There's people watching you in your processing. There's people watching you in your breakthrough and your discovery and your wonder and your strengthening season and your aha moments. And it's like that scene I told you about in John Humphrey. It's like, I just want to fall on the ground and worship. All because I'm looking at this flower. This thing about what are we waiting for? That got me down to this invitation I read out of John 16 this morning as we opened up, when he says, oh, that they would see that, Father, you and I are one. I'm in you and you're in me, and they're in us. And when I think about the gift of Pentecost Sunday, it's an invitation. You know why the Holy Spirit came? Holy Spirit came to reveal that, this invitation of your connection with the Father and the Son. There's a Father, here we go. Heavens, picture this in heaven. The Father and Son are in this embrace. They're in this embrace, and the Holy Spirit's out grabbing you and saying, hey, get in the middle. Hey, get in the middle. And he's like, go, you see the Father, go get me another one. Holy Spirit, go get another one. And their Holy Spirit's job is like to wake you up to seeing that he's invited you into this divine dance between the Father and the Son. And he's invited us into this love circle, this love bucket. Come on in. And here's what's interesting, and I had never seen this before, by the way. Do you know, you remember the scene when, in the Old Testament, when Moses goes up to the mountain, and he gets the law, right? 10 Commandments. And what happens, what's his discovery when he comes down? Do you remember what they're doing? Huh? They're worshiping God. There, it's a mess. And there, it's debauchery, and breaks the tablets, and... You know what scripture says in Exodus? That it says that when the law was given because of that adultery and all that mess, you know how many people it said died that day? Exodus? 3,000. 3,000 people.
Wait, say that again.
In Exodus, in that scene when he comes coming down the mountain, the scripture says that 3,000 people died right there. Hold out your hand for a second. Because Jesus comes and fulfills the law and says, you're not going to get to me by rules. It's all about, I came to show you that you were invited into this divine relationship between the Father and the Son. You're so loved, you're so connected with us. The Holy Spirit came to show you this divine embrace. So he shows up on Pentecost Sunday. He shows up. They're in the room waiting for their breakthrough, waiting for their discovery, waiting in their anxiety. What the? Holy Spirit shows up, and they're like, boom! Holy smokes! Right? Things, all of a sudden, they have this, I've got this grid for more. I didn't see it before. Now I do. What's Peter go out and do?
Preaches.
Gets on the corner and says, you got to hear this story. Peter gives him the gospel. And what, you know what scripture says? How many people came to the Lord?
3,000.
Yes. Come on. I think that's just kind of cool. The law brought death. And all of a sudden, Peter gets up and preaches about the love of the Father. 3,000 go, what? Remember that psalm I read that just says, this isn't about just you. They wait. He comes. He goes boom inside of them. And all of a sudden, people on the, are watching the boom and going, what? And they get the boom. and all of a sudden, this love explosion. This chain reaction of love just starts exploding in the place. That's just the coolest picture. That's Pentecost. That's Holy Spirit. That's Holy Spirit's job, is to just to wake you up into who you are and to come into this place, this divine dance between the Father and the Son. So I have one verse for you, and I want to talk about it. I'll read it out of the Passion. It's 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. Now may the grace and joyous favor of the Lord Jesus Christ, the unambiguous love of God, and the precious communion that we share with the Holy Spirit be yours continually. So I'm thinking about this Holy Spirit grabbing your hand, bringing you in. So you could enjoy this continually. Holy Spirit comes, says, come on, Dee. The verse says this, first, we receive grace and favor of God from Jesus. And I won't read all the verses just in the interest of time, but I'll tell you this thing about receiving grace and favor. Corinthians tells us he's our righteousness and our holiness and our new identity. Galatians and Hebrews and Romans say, unlike the law, it's his performance and fulfillment of the covenant with God that determines our standing with him. That's grace and favor. Luke says this, we have the same favor with God that Jesus had. Ephesians and Colossians say it's his relationship is our relationship with the Trinity. John 17 says it's his glory that he's given us. We share his glory. John 16 says everything he has, he gave us. John 15 says his joy is our joy, and we remain in God's love. And by the way, whose faith is this? If you want to talk about grace and favor, whose faith? We live by his faith, not our own, says in Galatians. So we can come boldly to that divine dance because why? Grace and favor. Then he comes up and he says, oh, by the way, you get to hang out, walk in, live from this unambiguous love. You get to hang out in the love bucket. Okay? Right?
First John says this, he's the source of all love. God is love. John 17 says, he's invited us into the same love relationship that he and the Son have enjoyed from the very beginning, from the very beginning of the foundation of the cosmos. 1 John 4 says, we're going to learn this love by letting him love us first, by being receivers. You wanna love like God? Let him love you. Just be a receiver of God. Be a receiver of God's love. 1 John 4, we're going to learn by receiving his love first. Probably the most quoted verse in the whole Bible is John 3:16, right? His love is unambiguous because he came for the whole world. He came through his Son to save us from our own messes. John 15 says he loves us exactly the same as he loves Jesus. I mean, that ought to mess with your head right there. He loves you. The Father loves you the same way he loves Jesus. Come on, that's just got... If you take one thing home today, I'd hang out on that one. He loves you the same way he loves Jesus. That's what it says in Scripture. He says, and when you stay in that place of remaining in his love, you can ask for anything and it will be given to you. By remaining in that place, just stay in his love. You can ask anything in that place. John 15 says, also, when you stay in that love, you remain there, you're filled with joy. Call it, I think one of the translations is passion, called it Jesus joy. I like that. John 17 says, and when you show that kind of love, by the way, it looks like unity. You're proving to the world that God loves them as much as he loves you. So what's happening? Favor and grace is on us. Hey, it's almost like the invitation to the event. Here you go. Yeah, you're qualified. There's your ticket. And then Holy Spirit's reminding us what this, like, wow, this is what his unambiguous love looks like. And he says, come on in, explore it, experience it, enjoy it. And then the Holy Spirit says, you know, that verse said we have this communion with Holy Spirit. You want to know how you experience oneness? You experience home in heaven. Right? It says that God said, the Godhead made his home here, right? And he did that by giving us the Holy Spirit. So it's like, don't run from Holy Spirit. Under the covenant, under the law, people had to go to the temple to meet God. Under the new covenant, his temple is right here.
So I don't have to climb a mountain.
So you don't have to climb a mountain. We're no longer orphans. He said, because of his Holy Spirit, we're sons and daughters. Right? Because of God's indwelling Spirit. Holy Spirit says, in Scripture it says, Holy Spirit shares deep things with us. The deep things of God. The things that the Father gave Jesus, Holy Spirit is sharing with you. So if you're in your season, your discovery, and just enjoy the promise that Holy Spirit has heaven's the Father's thoughts from heaven for you. The same thing the Father put in Jesus' heart, he's depositing in your heart. 1 Corinthians says, here's the cool part, you actually have the mind of Christ. I mean, that ought to make you go. So your thoughts are my thoughts, he says. So I encourage you to dream with God. I'm pretty sure you can't dream bigger than God. So dream. It's like, wow. So that thing that's frustrating me, that seems like there is no answer to it, I don't know what to do here. It's like, I would say to you, those are probably your dreams and visions, because God's got answers. But I can't get there, Danny, because I'm not really good at this waiting thing. I don't do discovery well. And he says, hey, not a problem, because the Holy Spirit is really good at praying, interceding for you. So Holy Spirit helps us in our prayer life. Well, you may say, I'm not good at this. He is. Holy Spirit is. So he tells us in Scripture, so pray in the Holy Spirit. And that's another sermon we'll have sometime. Like, what does that mean, Danny? What does it mean to pray in the Holy Spirit? And because there's a whole lot of like, hey, can I do that? Yep, he says we can. Is that okay? Yep. That doesn't sound right. Well, I mean, heaven's, well, Holy Spirit invites you into the mystery of heaven. So quit trying to analyze it. Quit trying to understand it. Just enjoy the ride.
Amen.
John 16 says that Holy Spirit trains us in righteousness. That's another lesson sometimes. What does it mean to be righteous? I would just simplify it just for the purposes of this morning. And I told you, he looks at you as his sons and daughters. The Holy Spirit's righteousness is reminding you that's who you are. You're his daughter. Yes, you do belong here. You do belong in his hug. You do belong in the circle of the Father and the Son. Because of the Holy Spirit showing you your righteousness is the privilege to stand there, to be in that circle. Right. By the way, it says he convicts us. It's actually, the better word is convinces you. Convinces you. Because your brain, your mind is going to say, that's not true. That's not true. That can't be true. Because I'm kind of a dodo. And I made lots of stupid mistakes. How can he love me? And the Holy Spirit goes, nope, he loves you. But what about, nope, he loves you. But all my life, nope, he loves you. And the Holy Spirit job is like, you know, you can throw all you want at me, and I'm just going to keep saying, nope, loves you, nope, loves you, nope, loves you. Nope, you're my kid. Nope, you're mine. And sorry, nope, we're connected like this. But nope. That's the convicting part. Holy Spirit's job is like, hey, it may take a while, but we're going to rewire your thinking. That's why Romans says, hey, it talks about the power of the transformed mind. Our renewing is, you want to find renewal? Starts in this place right here where the Holy Spirit rewires our thinker. Oh man, I've been thinking wrong. Yep. Okay. So it says he convinces us, and then you may not do it well. It says and you may blow it here and there. I didn't represent what you well, God. It says he comforts us. Says he empowers us. So this place I want to learn to live from, I want to learn to learn, I want to experience and live from this love. I'm going to be clunky at it. I'm going to be messy at it. And I'm growing in it. And the Holy Spirit says, don't worry, I got you covered. I'm going to show you. I'm going to hang out with you. I'm going to teach you. When you blow it, I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to, and we're just going to, like,
no flaw in you.
We're just going to practice loving, right? This is the part, by the way, or the issue of remaining in me, right? That's just, it's like, just stay, right? And yay for the middle of the sweet gospel of John. He says, because of the Holy Spirit, we're never alone. We're never alone. Our connection to heaven is through communion with the Holy Spirit. He's the conduit. Holy Spirit's the conduit by which we participate in this divine nature, right? So just as a way of like putting a stamp on the morning, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, just when it said, the grace and favor of the Lord Jesus is yours. The unambiguous love of God is yours. And the precious communion we share with the Holy Spirit is yours. So you can enjoy this divine relationship with Father continually. So I just say as you, for your Sunday, for your Pentecost Sunday, for your waiting, for your season of waiting, for the answers you're looking for the transition and the shift, this morning as a way, we ask us Holy Spirit to come. God, if you want to do it in our dreams, come in 3D Dolby surround sound. God, we want, come visit us in our dreams. Holy Spirit, come into our afternoon quiet times. God, come while we're eating a meal today. God, maybe I'm just lying in my bed staring at the ceiling. Holy Spirit, come and do a work in my heart. Do a work in our mind this morning. God, I just pray for breakthrough for my friends, God, today. I pray for transition in their lives this morning. I pray for just discovery of gold and diamonds in their heart. God, we pray for shift and movement. God, we pray for peace to overcome anxiety, that love just shadows over fear. God, just you come and you win the day. We enjoy being in the divine embrace of the Father and the Son. In Jesus' name, amen.